Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. I have a thought I've been thinking about this week. I want to talk about being offended. Probably don't need to give a definition for that, because even no matter what the definition would be or where it come from, we probably all know what it is without being able to give a definition. We probably all felt it before. And it is, in my lifetime serving the Lord, I've seen a lot of people really affected by it. Someone posted on the internet a statement that went something like this: McDonald's can mess up your order 101 times and you'll still go back. But if somebody messes up in church, you're done. Well, I don't know where they come up with the 101 at, the idea of that. But the statement's pretty clear. If you're hungry and you like what you're eating, you'll put up with a lot of error to get it. But I want us to know this, that I've seen a lot of people go away because they're offended. It is a poison. And we need, Lord, to help us to know how to deal with offenses. Because Jesus said that they would come. In Luke, the 17th chapter, Jesus deals with this because it's very important, both sides. We're not to be offensive. But if you serve the Lord and you witness for the Lord and you do things for the Lord, you can't help offending people that will be offended by that. Jesus offended people. His goal wasn't to offend them. His goal was to get the truth to them. But they were offended by him. And we'll look at some of that too. But in the 17th chapter of Luke, it starts out the first verse and says, "Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against them, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times a day turn again unto him, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." So the Lord is dealing here with this, I'm going to call it a poison, if you'll get this. This is very, very damaging, can be very hurtful, it can be like a poison into our system, to be offended. And I don't know this for sure. I don't have a scripture for it exactly. I know the scripture says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." But I would be very surprised if anybody could actually say that they've never suffered some kind of offense, that they've never been offended at something, or that they're not capable of being offended by something. It's all a perspective that we need to look at, because our soul's at stake here. And the way we look at offenses, because offenses, Jesus says it's impossible but that they will come. They will come. Somebody is going to say something, do something. In our humanity, we're going to have to deal with this ouch attitude. Oh, that hurts. Oh, that. And how do we respond? How do we respond to that? Well, Jesus puts it into perspective. He said the one that offends here in this situation is better than a millstone be hanged about their neck. But he also says the other side of it. Because the fact that there is going to be evil, wicked people out there, we need to know how to deal with it. I personally can get very frustrated, and I know my limitations, but I can get very frustrated with politics. I can be so frustrated by the inaccuracies and the lies and all of these things and that, but that's not in a personal way. I mean, I was going to look at it in a personal way because, like I said, in my lifetime, I've seen so many people went away because something happened. Because something was offensive to them, they went away. It's a danger to our souls to allow things to happen that controls us. I don't know if you ever looked at it this way, but anything that can change or move us is in control of us. This is what the devil brings it for. You're going along, maybe you feel love for everybody, you're doing well, and then here comes this major offense. What does it do? It changes you. I think the actual word of offense means we know what it is and what we feel, but I think it actually is like a stumbling block or a barrier, something put in your way that causes you to have to divert or go around or do something different. Anything that does that is actually controlling. It is a controlling element. Now you're not what you was. This says in there, if a brother trespasses against you, seven days. What's the answer to a brother trespassing against you? Being offended and not talking to him is not the answer. That's a poison that has changed you. All of a sudden, this, where it's diabolical of the devil or it's the carnality of another person, it has been able to control a certain aspect of our lives. Now, instead of me being a certain person, I'm changed and I'm different. It's like a poison that can get into our system. So Jesus is warning against this place of offense because we can be offended by these things or things that happen in our life. And now I'm not what I'm supposed to be. It's something that will control it. So he said, if your brother, that my brother would do that? Well, that's another thing. Brother, that things happen in your life. Sometimes it's the Lord. Sometimes it's the Lord saying to you, some man over there cursing David, and you remember the passage, and he's across the way over there cursing and ranting, and David, and David's captain, one of his men says, give me leave, I'll go take his head off. And David, instead of being offended at that or thin of that, he said, no, leave him alone. Perhaps the Lord has said, curse David. Maybe there's something in this that I need to get a hold of. Rather than be offended by this and him change me, I'm having a perfect day. And all of a sudden somebody says something and now I can't sleep and I'm worried about this and it's aggravated and how am I going to get this? And all these things have become offended. I ain't going to talk to him no more. I'm done with this thing. This says Jesus gave the answer. And if he does it seven times a day, forgive him. This is the answer. Don't change. Don't allow the devil or someone's carnality to change the spirit of Christ that's in you. Live for this. This is what offenses will do in our lives, and it's like a poison that can get in there. And it's true, if we're hungry enough, if we was devoted enough to the Lord, I'm not talking about to a system here. So many people go away from the good things of the Lord because of something they perceive as a slight in their own life. When the Lord's simple words was, forgive them. Don't allow this to change who you are. I remember one time on the job, Allegheny Land Surveying, on the job, boss had done something and had all the men. Had all the men up in arms. It was a lot of conversation and things going on, and I'm not going to testify higher than I am, but I was at this time anyway. The Lord had given me a grace about it, and I remember them, and they come to me and was talking about it, and they all was in this, and my statement to them was as well. Well, first of all, I think the boss has a right to run his company, his own company. And I said, but if I allow what he's done to make me all upset and react the way you're reacting, I said, then he has control over me. And I'm not going to give the boss control over me. He doesn't have control over me. I'm going to say the same way that I am and bless him and bless him and what he's doing, and that's what I'm going to do. And you know, that was a real victory to me in my life. I didn't allow it to change. I didn't get offended by it. And you know, it wasn't long before it all blew over anyway. But the Lord gives us an answer here and says, and if he trespass against thee seven times a day, and seven times in a day turn again to him, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Over in John, the sixth chapter, fifty-third verse says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is John 6 and 53, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which come down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you which believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and whom should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So here is a place where Jesus obviously wasn't trying to offend them. But he said, does this offend you? What I've told you, does this offend you? Yeah, it offended them. What he said altered their life. What Jesus said altered their life. They were disciples. They were following the Lord. And what he said there offended them. They took offense, personal offense to that. And there it changed and altered who they were to the point that they did not follow him anymore. I'm going to have to conclude that if Jesus couldn't keep from offending people, then probably we won't either. If we use his word, if we tell his word, then we're subject maybe to offend people. But I want to look at the idea of a being offended. This happened and they become so offended that they didn't walk anymore with him. How many times have I seen? I wouldn't want any of us to be in this situation to where he said, I'm so offended, I'm not going to be around it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. This is the danger. It's a poison to our souls to allow ourselves to be altered and changed by people's words, by what people do, what people say, what goes on in the world. Am I so thin-skinned, I say, that I'm going to be moved by this? Lord, help me to get my convictions in the Lord. And I'm going to serve the Lord No matter what, yeah, there's hard work sometimes. Sometimes people don't like you. Things happen. The community around you don't always look at you right. The things that you do don't always turn out right. You get blamed for things and things to do it. Even when you're trying to do good, these things happen. And we can be offended and say, I had enough. I mean, I'll have to say this a number of times in our life. Linda and I have been married for several years now. I can remember at least two times in our lives that the things happened around the community here that we're just saying, oh, let's just move. I'm going to go ahead and move. Wait, I better get the Lord's mind on this. But I'm ready to be altered. You see what I'm saying? That's a life-changing thing all of a sudden because of offense. Because I'm offended. I'm going to be offended by this. Many of his disciples walk no more with him. There's a story in the Bible of a woman that came to the Lord. She was not a Jew. She came to the Lord, I believe, with a sick child. She asked Jesus for help. Help my sick child. We all know as parents what that feels like, to have a child that you love and care for and are responsible for and you want them to be better. And she did the best thing that she could have done. She brought it to the Lord, and she come to the Lord. And you know what Jesus said to her? Would it be proper for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs? Now, I don't think Jesus was really calling her a dog there. But, I mean, I can really see how you could take it that way. I mean, it was just simply saying, I come for a certain reason. Is this? And you know that it could have been really, really easy to got your feelings hurt. But you'd go to McDonald's 101 times for their and with them making mistakes because I'm hungry. This woman had a need in her life that she didn't have the luxury, folks. She didn't have the luxury of being offended. She had a child that was desperately ill, and she didn't have the luxury to say, well, I'm not going to pay you any attention anymore, or I'm not going to do... No, I'm in this place, Lord. If we saw our souls that way, we could shuck off a lot of offenses. So somebody said something. Lord, am I really that way? Somebody called me hard-headed. Lord, am I hard-headed? Isn't that the proper way? Well, maybe they said that, and maybe there's some accuracy about it. Where did they get that opinion from? Lord, if it can make me better with it. Should I take the children's bread and give it to dogs? And she just, in my mind, she drops her head and says, true, Master. But the dogs, nobody. I remember up there in Wisconsin, they spilt something on the floor up there one time and they let the dog in. Well, there was all this stuff. The dog come in and licked up and eat the stuff off. They licked the stuff up. Well, they still had to mop the floor up. The dog licked them. I mean, the dog come and clean the floor up. The woman actually said, nobody would keep, you're not going to eat it. And nobody would keep the dog from eating what splattered there on the floor. Master, you wouldn't keep the dogs from it. It's true, but the dogs get to eat the crumbs. You know that moved the Lord. She could have very well been offended, but she wasn't offended because her need was too great. And so she wasn't offended. Lord, help me with this. And she was able to get the help that she had come to get because she had humbled herself and wouldn't allow the things to offend her. It didn't change her mission. It didn't stop her. Do you remember the scripture that Jesus was teaching about praying? And he told about the widow woman that come to the unjust judge and prayed or asked the judge to avenge her of her enemies, to help her, and the judge wouldn't. But after a while, she kept persevering. She kept coming. Do you know it would have been really easy for her to have come and made her petition And the unjust judge said, I ain't got nothing to do with you, and whatever cruel statements that could have made, and that could have been the end of it, and she could have went away offended and never got what she had went there for. But the scripture says this is the way to do it. She kept going and going and going, and she didn't allow herself to change or be altered. She kept going until the unjust judge said, I fear not God or man. And don't care about nothing, but this woman's going to weary me. So I'm going to give her what she wants to keep her from keeping coming. And the Lord said, this is the way to do it. Persevere. Don't get offended about these things. So these things happen. Brother Ed used to make the statement sometimes and said through it all, said, I intend to be there all the way through all of it. Offenses, persecution, whatever it is, and said, if they don't accept me in the front, I'll sit in the back. If I have to stand by the door, I'll be standing at the door in the back. But I aim to be there all the way. Don't allow other things to manipulate and change us and make us something that we're not, that we don't want to be. That's what it's designed for, is to change us into something completely different than what we want to be and what the Lord would have us to be. Does this offend you? So I want to get another scripture. This is a very familiar story. There's a story in the Bible about a young man named Joseph. Joseph, I see, was the 11th son, I think. He had 10 brothers above him, and the youngest true, not half brother, full brother was Benjamin, his youngest brother. And I don't know what the story of this altogether is, but these were the 12 tribes of Israel. So this is Jacob and Jacob's children. And Jacob ended up having two sons by the wife that he loved, Joseph and Benjamin. I'm assuming that's the way the story goes, is that's the why they were very special, more special to him. I don't think that's a good idea, but that's what the story is. He loved Joseph and he really loved Benjamin more, it seemed, than he did the other ones. And they were favored. And it brought a lot of offense to the other brothers. You know, it's God that makes us who we are. It's God that put us where we are. There is something to be able to accept the will of God about our lives. I always would have kind of liked to have been taller. But what can you do? I don't know. Can you stretch yourself out an inch? I don't know. There's something about being able to accept the place that I was put and where I'm at and what I am. To certain thing that God had done. Like David said, perhaps God has said, curse David. Maybe there's a point and a reason that where I'm at and who I am and all of those kind of things. Maybe it's more about God. So here's the story. Jacob makes Joseph a coat of many colors and actually favored him, and he would go out and his brothers became offended and bitter at him. They never recognized it. Joseph was a dreamer and he had dreams and he expressed his dreams. One of his dreams just put them all over the edge. Folks, this was of God. Who are you going to fight? Who are you going to fight? God? God gave him a dream. And in the dream, I think it was his brother's sheaths came and bowed himself down to his sheath. And they all said, what are you going to rule over us now? It's not enough to have to put up with you and coming around here while we're working and daddy's a little favorite and all that. And now you're going to come and you're actually going to say that you're going, well, he went farther than that and actually said something about, I think that even the sun and the moon or something, the stars was his brothers and the sun was his dad and they all paid homage to him and they said, oh, Jacob said, oh, so I'm going to bow down to you too, huh? Well, that's your prophecy? And they was offended by it. Offended enough to take an action. So we know the story. They got him and they killed a goat and put blood all over the coat and ripped it up and threw him in a well. Then I think they intended to kill him, but Reuben says, no, let's not have the blood on our hands. And they sold him into slavery. And so a caravan comes by and they sold him, and down to Egypt he goes, away from everything that he had known, and sent him down there on the way. And here's the story. And the brothers go on. They show Jacob that. And now they think that he's dead and gone. His dad, Jacob does. But he goes down, and you know the story? The story is laced with good things. He went to Potiphar. He was a good-looking young man, history says. He was very smart and intelligent and learned. And he was down there, and Potiphar recognizes his gifting, and so he puts him in charge of things there. And you know the deal with Potiphar's wife, and that all goes wrong for him. It's been really easy to be offended at Potiphar's wife and Potiphar. But why allow these people to control your life? Be bitter? Hateful? Why allow somebody that's mean and evil to make you mean and evil? Why allow somebody that's doesn't like life and hard-headed and bitter, why allow them to make you that way? This is what the danger of offense is. It doesn't stand by itself. It's not the feel-good feeling you think it is. We all know what it is. Somehow it feels good for me to have been offended because it's like you owe me something. I like to be owed. So you owe me something. It's a good feeling. It's a fleshly feeling. It's very harmful to your soul to have these feelings. Well, we know the story. Joseph's thrown in the dungeon. Now, because of his brothers, he's a slave. Because of his brothers, he's not free as they are to go do the things that they did. He's not free to do any of that. Now he's a slave in Egypt. And now, because of his brothers, he's in the dungeon. He's in the prison. And remember the story of the baker and the butler. He prophesied to them and they were supposed to remember him. One of them got freed and the other one got his head took off. But he was supposed to remember him when he came, but he forgot about him. You know, it'd been really easy to have been offended by that guy. How could he have possibly forgot me? But he did. Because the Lord allowed him to until the day that he said, oh, I know there's a guy that can interpret dreams. And so Joseph now is brought out of the dungeon to the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh says, here's my dream. And Joseph says, here's what the dream means. And this is what it's going to be, oh, Pharaoh. There's going to be a time of plenty. There's going to be plenty throughout the land for 7 years. And then after that's going to follow 7 years of devastation and nothing. And the wisdom is to get the things to the set and do that. And the Pharaoh sees and says, what a wise young man. I'm going to put you in charge of it. And now he's in charge of it. And there comes a time, and while the famine's raging, that the land is barren. And so there come famine to the land where Jacob was at. And so they sent the sons down to Egypt. And I want to go through just a little bit of it. You know this story. He did toy with them a little bit. Joseph toyed with them because he knew who they were. And, oh, wouldn't that have been fun? That would have been so much fun. He knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. And so he toyed around a little bit. But the prophecy was coming true of what God had given so many years back. God had planned this. And so there come a time, I want to read a little bit of it. It's going to be a little reading, but I want to read it. It's in the 45th chapter of Genesis. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, caused every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph. doth my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved. Now wait a minute. Joseph. This is where you can put the hammer down on these guys. All of that torment that you went through, all of that hurt, all of those cold nights laying in that dungeon floor, all the things that happened to you, now it's the time for you to lay it on them good. Right? That's what offenses does. Lord, help us not to allow them to change us. We think that offense is going to hurt the offender. They don't. Well, they do, but they don't in this context. It hurts the offended. If we allow, this is why we don't allow ourselves to be offended by this thing. This is why Jesus was able to do what he done. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. He came to die on the cross for our sins. Evil, wicked, mean people came against him and tried to destroy all that he tried to do good. They come to him, and he would not be offended by it. He would not allow it to change. He could have come and went back to the Father and said, Father, I went down there and I didn't realize they was that bad. They're not worth dying for. And he would have changed him. He didn't allow even evil, wicked people that put a crown of thorns on his head. That could have offended him, but it didn't. It didn't change him. They whipped his back till blood run down, but it didn't change his mission. Didn't change who he was. It didn't cause him not to love them. Can we honestly have a love of God in our hearts till we can love those that don't love us? Yes! It's what Jesus came to do for us. A great miracle, but it's one that he came to do to give us something. Don't allow ourselves to be offended out of the love of God. That's what offenses are for. It's what they're designed to hurt the offended, to change them, to alter them. Joseph said, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. What a thought! Lord help us, what a thought! That I'm living for God. I'm one of God's children. You're gonna have to go through God to get to me. My neighbor's gonna have to go through God to get to me. God's got the hedge around me and he only lets through the hedge what he wants through the hedge. Joseph said it wasn't you. God allowed you this. He allowed you to have those thoughts. He allowed the caravan to come by at the right time. He allowed this to be done. This God planned this to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine hath been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy house and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father all of my glory in Egypt, of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, now listen, this is it right here. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them after that his brother talked with him. You see the difference of the plan? What would have been the results here had he have been offended? And not taken this as the Lord's work, as what God had brought him to? What if he would have, it sounds like he had a lot of authority. Second to the Pharaoh? Could he have said to the guards, "Guards, come get these guys. We're going to string them up." Could he have said, "Get the sword out. We're going to take their heads off. They've done me wrong. When you do me wrong, you need to pay for the wrong that you've done." He could have killed them or kissed them. And he kissed them. He didn't allow their evil to change who he was. He was a follower of God. He had the Spirit of the Lord in him. And he didn't allow the evil that approached him, that come onto him, that he had to face in this life. He didn't allow it to change who he was. And that's exactly what, as a deliverer of them, he stands as an example of Christ. Because this is what Christ did for us too. He did not allow the evil of this world to alter, to offend him and change him, to put a stumbling block in his way to the mission that he had for our salvation. Not everybody will accept his salvation, but enough will that he made it worth it. And I've heard it said, and I wonder, but would he have died if I was the only one? Well, for me, he did die, me being the only one, because I've got my soul to contend with. I want to end with a scripture in Hebrews. For it gives us a little encouragement for what to do when things happen. 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing ye are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and this sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now listen, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So, consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. They did it all. Thorns, whippings, mockery, crucifixion, nails through the hand, through the feet. And it didn't alter him. He did not get offended by those that drove the nails. He did not get offended by those that were so... He so understood it and was such a place that during all of it, and for the ones that did it, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He did not allow the circumstances, he did not allow the offenses and the things that people were doing to change who he was. And this scripture says for us to consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied. He set an example for us. Lord, help us not to be offended by these things in life. Scripture says offenses are going to come. But Lord, help us to realize that the design of these things is to alter and change who I am. Scripture says a root of bitterness springing up defiles many. That will carry. That little bit of offense can carry for years. My dad one time told me that the neighbors was upset at him. It was the neighbors that lived down below us there. And he said they were upset at him. And I said, well, what's upset? Why are they upset at you? I mean, I'm a grown man. I lived over here for years when my dad told me this. I mean, he said they were upset at him. And well, why? And he said that, their septic system had quit working, and he was the one that had put it in. And I said, you put a septic system in for him? He said, yeah, I put it in. And I said, well, Dad, I've been around a long time. I don't remember you ever putting a septic system in for them. When did you do that? He said, well, it's been about 35 years ago. I said, it worked good up till then? Yeah, yeah, it worked pretty good up till then. You can be offended at anything you want to be offended at. But it'll only hurt you. The Lord has said, perhaps the Lord has said, Marty, you need to be humbled. Perhaps the Lord has said, Marty, you ain't been paying enough attention. Perhaps the Lord has said, I'm gonna answer your prayer request and help you get to heaven. And I'm going to use your neighbors to help. Lord, help me not to be offended by the things that the Lord allows into my life. For maybe, just maybe, it'll be the salvation of the ones I love. Maybe, like Joseph, he was used as an instrument to save the very people that persecuted him. That sounds like somebody else I admire. Maybe the Lord will use us to help save the very people that persecute us. It'll never happen if we get offended. Lord, help us to raise our eyes above it and consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.